You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. Podcast, midweek edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Mercy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 anytime. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
The boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this midweek edition of The Punt, William Hill's football podcast. We're taking a look to a midweek treat of Premier League football. We've got televised games and we've got some intriguing clashes off the back of what has been a very enjoyable weekend. My name's John Gibby and Alex Dunn is with me in the Punt studio. Hello, Alex.
Hello, John Gibby. Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you. Are you good? It feels like we're being spoilt a little bit in the run-up to Christmas. It's an excellent time of the year for sport in general, and some of the midweek games in the Premier League.
Agreed. Yeah, it's one of those times where it's you have international breaks and there's no football, and then all of a sudden there's football coming out your ears. And with there being a Monday night game last week and then a Friday night game just gone, there's not been many days where we haven't had a Premier League game. And that continues on Tuesday and Wednesday. Two televised games, both Manchester clubs in action on TV. We're going to look at those two games plus three others across the midweek, and hopefully point you in the direction of a winner or two. It's a tricky time because of squad rotation at this time of the season. It's the first time that teams have had the luxury of, they've had to play twice in 4 days for some of these teams. It's the first time they've had to do that all season, barring the League Cup. So yeah, it can be a little bit of a nightmare if you're betting pre-team news, because every now and again, like Man City at the weekend, say, yes, they still beat Bournemouth, but would you have backed them at 1-8 if you'd have seen that Danilo was starting and that there was no Aguero, etc.?
Would I have put Aguero in my fantasy team?
Exactly.
No, I would not.
Exactly.
Let's maybe put a hold in the anytime goal scorer bets and that sort of thing.
I think that is best to do until I might put some up, but they are, with the caveat that it's best to wait until team news comes out. But at least all the Tuesday games kick off around about the same time, and the same with the Wednesday games. You can put your bets on after 7 o'clock.
Well, let's kick off with Watford against Man City. And, according to the betting, this should be a fairly one-sided affair. Watford 9-1, the draw 24-5, and Man City are 27-100. Slightly odd set of odds, that one.
But yeah, four's on, we'll call it.
Okay, we'll refer to it. Watford have been struggling of late, and Man City have gotten back into doing what Man City have been doing in the Premier League for the last couple of years, which is winning games. And I'm looking back at the head-to-head record between these two teams. It's a fixture which Man City have dominated when you go back in history, even before they were very good.
Yeah, 2007 was the last time that Watford avoided defeat against Manchester City. On that day, Man City's goalscorer was Darius Vassell. And who came on for Watford that day? Steve Cabba. That's how far back we're going here. This is the annals of Premier League history. They've got a really poor record against Man City, and Man City tend to do a real job on Watford as well. I'm not sure if that'll be the case here, and I can't think of many times that a Premier League side has been this short away from home, particularly against someone who's not useless. You know, this isn't Man City away at Cardiff. No offence to Cardiff.
But, all offence to Cardiff.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Or even going back to when Derby were appalling, or Sunderland. It's not, well, I don't know, they may have been that short, but it seems very skinny to me. I do think they'll win, though. Let's take nothing away from that. If you're putting them in your ACCA, fine. I just think I'd advise caution. So if you're looking for a bit more value, well, I think unders on the goals could be the way to go here, because City have generally kept it fairly tight. And off the back of them resting players against Bournemouth, you'd expect that the likes of Kyle Walker will come back in. They played Otamendi and Laporte, I think, at centre-back against Bournemouth with Danilo and, well, Delph was rested, Zinchenko. You know, it's one of those games where you'd expect to see almost a completely different team from Man City, really. Mm. So under 2.5 goals is 13-8, which I'm surprised that it's heavily weighted in the overs camp.
Is it probably because what Man City often do is when they're heavy favourites for a match, they come out, dominate, they put five past the opposition, and if they let one in, they don't tend to lose too much sleep over it.
No, that is true. That is true. But the under 2.5 comes with risk attached, because if there's a first half goal, then you're sweating. But under 3.5 at 7-10, I think is fine. I think that's much more. Well, I think they'll both land, to be honest. I think it will be fairly low scoring. But it's difficult. You're looking elsewhere for value, and it is tricky. But Watford appear to have been... They do this every year. They start the season well, and then they tend to go on their summer holidays, normally around about Christmas time, don't they?
In keeping with the rest of us.
Yes. And they may only win two or three more between January and May. Well, they appear to have started that a little bit earlier this year with an end of October summer holiday for the year ahead. They've had some disappointing results recently after a really strong start to the season. I can't see them getting anything here. So, ultimately, Man City to win, but I'd go unders on the goals if you are looking just for that little bit more value. Under 3.5 seems the most sensible play.
Okay, unders on the goals then for Alex Dunn. We'll take a look at West Ham hosting Cardiff up next. And West Ham, it's kind of the opposite to Watford, really. They had a really poor start to the season. I think they were bottom at one point. They have picked themselves up fairly well over the last few weeks. Cardiff have also improved to a point, I would say, though they haven't exactly been beating the strongest teams. They would have been glad with the 3 points against Wolves on the weekend for sure. Mm. West Ham 7-10 to win this one. The draw 27-10 and Cardiff 17-4.
Yeah, the games that Cardiff have won so far this season have come, all at home, firstly, and against teams that have been drawn into scrapping them, basically. They bullied Wolves the other night. They got stuck in. They bullied Wolves. They did what every Neil Warnock team does, which is they're fairly physical. They're quite a big side, and they play to their strengths. There's nothing wrong with that. I certainly don't want to make it sound like it's a negative thing, because it's a team playing to their strengths. They beat Brighton when Brighton went down to 10, and they beat Fulham earlier on in the season as well. And they've played most of those teams that they have beaten at the right time this season as well. I think that's key. I don't think Cardiff are any good. I really don't. And the fact... West Ham are difficult to trust when they're odds on. They're the kind of side that you've got no qualms in backing when they're bigger than 2-1, which they were at the weekend at Newcastle. Now, whether they stick with the same team that beat Newcastle, because by all accounts they were pretty good at St James's, or whether the fact that Javier Hernandez started that game was to rest others for this game, and, I mean, he scored twice. I don't think you can drop him, personally. But, you know, can he play that many games in a week? It remains to be seen. But anyway, West Ham 7-10, great price, as far as I'm concerned. Minus a goal, 13-8, even better. Because I think if West Ham win this, and I'm sure that they do, I think they do it comprehensively. I don't think it's going to be a 1-0. I think you'll see maybe a 3-1, a 4-1. But I just think they've got so much attacking talent, West Ham, and their defence has been maligned so far this season for not keeping many clean sheets, but they did at the weekend. Issa Diop is an absolute man mountain, and they're still young and they're still learning how to play together. I don't mind this West Ham side at the minute. I actually prefer them away from home, ironically. I know they're at home here, but minus a goal, 13-8, I really don't mind. Arnautovic is a pest. You don't want to be playing against him. If Hernandez plays, then there's someone else that you've got to mark, because he's sniffing around looking for chances. Felipe Anderson's hit form. He's now got 4-4 in his last Premier League games. He's got to be worth a look to score any time, provided he starts. But then you throw in the mix, you know, Declan Rice having a good season. Robert Snodgrass has just come back from a ban. They've got a nice little squad, West Ham. I think they'll have way too much for Cardiff. Minus a goal, 13-8. My best bet of the midweek fixtures.
Ooh.
There you are.
There we go.
Laying it down early.
Confidence from Alex Dunn. We'll move on from that game, and hopefully I'll have as many as much confidence in our next game, which is one of the picks of the midweek game, certainly. Manchester United hosting Arsenal in this one, and Arsenal arriving off the back of a massive confidence booster when they beat Spurs in a highly entertaining affair in the North London derby at the weekend. Man United, meanwhile, could only draw with Southampton 2-2. The prices, Man United 13-10, the draw 5-2, and Arsenal 2-1. They're away from home, but are Arsenal a little bit big?
Maybe. They're still unbeaten since the start of the season. I say that they're not unbeaten this season. They lost the first two games. But since then.
Since then, yeah.
And that's been a really good run. Now, they haven't played the highest calibre of teams in that spell. I think that was the point. They played two really tough teams to start with. But fair play, you know, to win a derby the way that they did was pretty impressive. And for all that people still will see them as a soft touch, the fact that they're not losing games suggests that in some way, shape or form, they've got a bit of metal about them at least. Who knows about Man U? I got suckered in at the weekend. I backed them against Southampton. And at 2-0 down, I still didn't think this bet's a loser, because it's just what they do. But then when they got it back to 2-2, I was actually gutted that then they didn't go on to win, genuinely disappointed that they didn't go on to win that game. And that is the key for them. They're not turning up early on in games. It's really surprising. But that said, they're finishing games off brilliantly. So you're looking back through their last few fixtures. So Southampton, 2-0 down, got it back to 2-2. Young Boys, a late winner. Crystal Palace was 0-0. That was disappointing. Against Man City, they were 2 down at half-time and managed to get one back before going down 3-1 in the end. Against Juventus, they scored 2 late goals to win away from home. Bournemouth, late winner away from home. Everton, actually, that one doesn't fit the trend. That's the only one, though, of recent games that Man U have been doing well in, at least, or have done something in, that they didn't manage to salvage something late. They did it against Newcastle. It's becoming too much of a trend not to back, anyway. So I've got two bets for this game, and they're both centering around them, because I must say, outright, anything could happen here. Man U could win this 3-0, you would not bat an eyelid. They could lose this 2-0, and everyone would go, hey, Arsenal are okay at the minute. So I'm going with my most confident selection in the game, second half to be the highest scoring half for Manchester United. Oh. Just for Manchester United.
We're getting very specific here.
29-20. It keeps happening. Well, I say it keeps happening. It wouldn't have landed against Southampton, because they mounted their comeback towards the end of the first half. But as a rule, that's what they're doing. So Man U to score more goals in the second half than the first. It's 29-20. I don't mind that. And this is getting very specific now.
Oh, even more specific than that.
Well, there's half-time, full-time bets, which people do like doing. I know friends at home, and I know work colleagues as well.
Yeah, I do quite a lot of those.
Who will have sort of, if there's a televised game on, 50p reverses on a team to be leading at half-time, but then the other team to win the match.
Yeah.
It's normally 25-1, 28-1, 33-1. You only need it to land once or twice in a season.
You can very often as well get good value. If you fancy a team who are odds on.
Yeah.
And you think they're going to win 2 or 3-0,
yeah.
But you don't necessarily want to bat them on the handicap because you're a little bit concerned about the other thing. If you bat them half-time, full-time, you'd usually get quite a nice boost on the price.
So I'm a fan of backing it when I like a team, as you said, a short price team. In this one, for Arsenal, this is not the end result that we're talking about here.
Right.
This is Arsenal to win the first half and Man U to win the second half.
Yeah.
So it's not half-time, full-time. Arsenal could win the first half 4-0,
yeah.
And Man U could win the second half 1-0. This bet would land.
Yeah.
But your half-time, full-time wouldn't.
It counts both halves as separate matches.
Exactly, John Gibby. For Arsenal to win the first, Man U to win the second is 17-2. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
It's worth a couple of quid, I think, at that price. Man U have been starting slowly. You can see Arsenal going in 1-0 up. Second half, Man U, at worst, get one back, one all it finishes. So they're just a couple of fancies. They're sort of stats plays as much as anything. It's what Man U have been doing recently. But it's certainly interesting. And it makes Man U games so interesting if you're betting in play. I must confess, I was working on Saturday evening. So I was watching the game, but not seeing what prices they were during the game. Be interested to know how big Man U got. I know they didn't win in the end, but just even double chance in play when they went 2-0 down.
What I did notice was as soon as they scored the second goal, they were not only odds on, but they were...
They've probably been shorter than they were pre-match.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
Well, they weren't that short pre-match.
No, they were 10 to 11-ish. Yeah, just shy of even money. But anyway, yeah, 29-20, second half to be the highest scoring half for Man U would be the most confident pick. And they are specific markets, but I honestly don't have a strong view outright.
Okay. We'll move on now to the most anticipated game of the week, if you're me. And that's Fulham hosting Leicester. Fulham, follow a 2-0 defeat. Chelsea on Sunday as part of Derby weekend. I have to say, Alex, sort of a little bit of doom and gloom on Twitter about this, but I wasn't absolutely distraught at the performance in that game.
You are a Fulham fan, let's just clarify. You're not a Leicester fan.
Yes, I'm a Fulham fan. Leicester beat Watford, who we've already discussed. Mm. Interesting one with the Ranieri factor, this one.
Yeah, of course, Claudio Ranieri against his old team. He'll get a great reception. Leicester have been in really good form recently. They've been really tight at the back as well. They've played some poor teams in the last few games, but they're picking up results, and that's all that matters, really. Fulham are, at the minute, sorry, John, a poor team at the minute. But they did win in Ranieri's first game. They still defensively don't look capable of keeping a clean sheet.
There's a lot of mistakes.
Yes. And it happened towards the end of Jokanovic's reign, and it's continued with Ranieri, in that the way to go about it appears to be to play all of the defenders in the hope that somehow, cobbled together, they can keep a clean sheet. That hasn't happened yet.
I have an interesting stat here.
They weren't bad against Chelsea, I'll say that much.
You might have this in front of you. Mm-hmm. In the last 10 years, how many times do you think Fulham have played Leicester?
Not once.
Just once.
Okay.
I thought we'd been in the same league for at least maybe one year in the Premier League or something there. But
Leicester spent a lot of time down, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is only the second meeting since 2008.
That is interesting. But with Fulham's leaky defence, you're basically relying on them scoring at least twice in a game to win.
Yeah.
And they're capable of doing that. I'm not saying that they're not capable of doing that, but Leicester defensively have been pretty good of late, and I don't think Fulham will score twice in this game. Therefore, I can't see Fulham winning. There's the logic.
Shame.
Do you see my point?
I see your point.
I don't think Leicester will concede more than a goal, and I don't think Fulham will keep a clean sheet.
Well, I think is Leicester... Am I right? In all honesty, bias aside, am I in a rush to back Fulham at 2-1 to win this game?
Absolutely not.
No. Do I think Leicester at 13-10 is a bet? Not especially.
I'd back it. I don't think it's the best bet of the week, but it's big enough to get involved with, I think. If this was Fulham from 3 weeks ago, you'd be backing this with bells on. As it happens, you're backing it. There's no bells attached, though. There are no bells. You're just backing it.
How about Leicester to win and both teams to score at 29-10? Bear in mind, quite often Fulham have...
Yeah. I don't mind that, but then again, no, I do like that, but I think Leicester could keep a clean sheet here. I'm going against you, John, I'm sorry. It could be win to nil, it could be with both teams scoring, but I just think Leicester will, I think they'll win. I'm sorry.
I'm going to come back to you on Tuesday evening.
That's fine.
Or Wednesday evening, whatever it is, Wednesday evening.
13-10 for Leicester to win, as far as I'm concerned, is value. There you are.
You know what, if I was to have a bet in this game, no bias attached, and I never back against them. But if I were to, I'd go for Leicester to win both and score 29-10.
There you are. A happy medium that leaves John unhappy if it lands.
All mediums leave me unhappy.
Exactly.
Let's move on for the final game we're going to talk about, and that's Chelsea visiting Wolves. Now, Wolves, what has happened to the old Wanderers here, Alex? Because I heard they were going to be the best team that ever been promoted from the Championship to the Premier League.
Yeah.
And now they haven't won since, beating Crystal Palace on the 6th of October.
Now, in fairness, it's always, things do get blown out of proportion. And you get some people in the media saying, well, let's call him out on this. Phil Neville. He's the one who said, this Wolves side are the best side to be promoted to the Premier League. That was a few weeks ago, and I don't think they've won since.
Now, you know, at the beginning of the season, I think they were 7th favourites to win the league outside of the usual 6.
Yeah.
They were about 150-1, which obviously sounds like a big price. But surely that's scandalous.
Well, look, at the start of the season, I was dead against them. I was trying to take them on. I nearly backed them to go down just as a value play. And then nearly backed them to finish in the bottom half. Didn't get on in time in the end. Missed the price and then left it alone. But... A lot of as you said, I've been told that this Wolves side, I don't know if that's come from the fans or the media. I think some fans were confident.
I think a lot of the fans were confident.
But I don't think all of them were necessarily as, it's a strong word, I'm going to use it, arrogant as perhaps others have portrayed them to be. So I'm sticking up for Wolves fans here. I think that the media have had a say in hyping this side up. Now, they've got to change the way that they're playing because the sides that are coming up against them have sussed them.
And can we just go through who these sides are, right?
Yeah.
In the last six matches they played in the Premier League, right, they've lost to Watford. They've lost to Brighton. They lost to Spurs, fair enough. They drew with Arsenal, fair enough. They lost to Huddersfield and they lost to Cardiff.
The Arsenal performance was great. They were unlucky to draw. They should have won. The Spurs performance was pretty poor. They were 3-0 down. That would look bad. The 3-2 puts a gloss on it, but it was two late penalty consolations, really. The other games are where they have been sussed because they have got two highly talented central midfielders in Neves and Moutinho, but they've come up against a midfield three or at least a midfield two that are willing to kick. And they have been, you know, harassed out of the game, basically.
Should probably mention the prices for this one, which I'm so busy talking about Wolves not being the best side to ever be.
We're not even touched on Chelsea yet.
Yeah, I know. Wolves 18-5, the draw 27-10. Chelsea are 78-100.
Wolves have to change the way that they play, but this is a good game to do it because Ruben Neves is suspended. So whether they change their system, whether it's just a change, well, it will be a change of personnel, but whether they change their system as well remains to be seen. Johnny currently on the sidelines. They've missed him at left wing back, although I'm a big fan of Ruben Venegra, but it's just not quite clicking for them at the minute. But now that they're coming into a game and they are underdogs again, we may see them perform in a better light. There's been a weight of expectation on them in recent games that maybe they haven't enjoyed. Just a thought. Anyway, Chelsea are very good. They beat Fulham on Sunday. We've already alluded to that. They were not wildly impressive, but they got the job done.
I think that's been the story of not all, but most of the season for them so far.
Yeah, that's true.
They haven't been playing the football of a Man City or Liverpool most of the time.
Yeah.
They've just been winning games.
Team news will be important here because Eden Hazard was a slight doubt for the game on Saturday. He ended up playing, and whether he can play again so soon after, it's Wednesday night, I think he probably will, personally. But just something to bear in mind, if you are going to go in on Chelsea at 78-100, well, if Hazard doesn't start, then you're going to be pushing even money.
Yeah.
But I think he will start. But if you are just having a single, then just wait. But yeah, I think Chelsea will win this. And again, you're looking for a bit more value. You're trying to find something else. I honestly couldn't here. I couldn't tell you that Chelsea are going to keep a clean sheet. They might. I couldn't tell you that Wolves are going to shut up shop because they might not. So I'll just stick with Chelsea. 78-100. For all that I'm saying, Hazard's the key man. He is, but he's so short to score any time. He can affect a game without scoring. He does so plenty of times. And then you end up with a Pedro scoring or a Willian or whatever. But I think Chelsea will just get it done here. But Nuno's under pressure, rightly or wrongly. If he loses this, who knows? He might be out.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous to say, really. Because you have bad days at work. More bad than good, I'd say, John.
Oh, that's probably fair, Alex, yes.
But if you have... If you're putting it into that context, a bad week at work, five bad days... Is that enough for you to undo however many days of good work he's done for Wolves?
It depends on the opposition, doesn't it? I think it would be very harsh to sack him after losing to Chelsea, who are still, you know, up there fighting in terms of potential winners of the league this year. I don't think they're going to do it, but it's not out of the question.
But the key game for him comes next Sunday away at Newcastle. That's a big game for both teams. If he loses against Chelsea and Newcastle, he probably will go.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's all to come. And who knows? We're recording this on Sunday. You might have gone by Monday morning. It's the Premier League, John. Anything can happen. But no, Chelsea 78-100 is a nominal pick in that game.
Okay, and that's the final game we're going to talk about. There are a few other games as well taking place in the Premier League. So check out all the betting online or on the William Hill app. Thanks for listening to The Punt today. Rejoin us for the weekend. More Premier League action coming up. And Alex, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.